case our calendar is 97-25-66, Roy Bratt versus Marsha Bratt. Mr. Katz.
May I please record, I would like to have 5 minutes of rebuttal time.
5 minutes of rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case presents this court with an opportunity to answer the question of whether a judicial decision promised on a statute and then repealed, and then a new different statute has been enacted, constitutes binding precedent on the lower court. The court of appeals below based its decision on this court's decision in Alphabet versus Alphabet. Alphabet versus Alphabet was decided based upon a then existing statute, 3109.05, that provided that a court could make any just and reasonable order regarding the visitation rights. However, that statute that Appleby was premised on was repealed in 1990, and a new section dealing with visitation or companionship rights was enacted. That section was then subsequently modified radically the following year. Because of the fact that the statute on which Alphabet versus Alphabet was promised, and because of the fact that the statute was repealed and then radically revised to provide for different conditions, the lower court's decision, promising its decision upon Alphabet versus Alphabet, was in error. In Alphabet versus Alphabet, the existing statute was extremely broad, but 3109.051A, by its very terms and conditions, applies only to divorce cases, dissolution cases, annulment cases. It does not provide for or as to modification cases. Now, could the General Assembly of the State of Ohio want, if they so desired, may that section applicable to modification cases? Of course they could. The General Assembly is well versed in how to write a statute. But they didn't include the word modification or modifying. Therefore, the only other statute that deals with other rights, other parental rights, allocating the rights and responsibilities to parties, and other rights for continuing contact is 3109.04. And 3109.04E, it provides that a court may not modify an existing decree unless the moving party demonstrates that there has been both a change of circumstances and that the modification is necessary to serve the best interests of the party's child.
Counselor, I understand your argument on that issue, and I'd like to ask you a procedural matter. If we answer the first certified question no, and the second certified question yes, what happens to this case?
I believe if you answer the first question no, then the second question becomes irrelevant.
Okay.
Because at that point, since there has not been a showing of a change of circumstances, since there has not been a showing that a modification is necessary to preserve or to serve the best interests of the child, then it is clear as a matter of law that the trial court's decision to continue the status quo was correct.
So at best, in certifying these issues to us, the Court of Appeals should have, at best, or at least, certified in the alternative. Because we don't reach the second question, the first question's no, do we?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. If the first question is no, then the second question becomes purely academic. There is not a case of controversy before this court, and this court has never answered this hypothetical question.
Okay, now returning to your major argument on question one, our standard has always been that there has to be, for a modification of visitation, a substantial... If you change custody, there has to be a substantial change in circumstances. How does that differ from what you're arguing now?
Not to argue with court, but I think that you took out the word substantial in one of your prior decisions. The court has always ruled that there must be a change of circumstances, and the statute also requires that the modification serve the best interest of the child. And I believe that that is entirely consistent with what we are asking for, that a modification of visitation or companionship rights is one of the rights dealing with parental rights and responsibility covered under 310904.
Okay, you're arguing visitation and companionship, and I understand that. I wanted to start with custody.
Yes, custody, I don't believe there's any question under 310904, no, 310904E, that there must be both a change of circumstances and that the modification is necessary to serve the best interest.
And you don't agree that that proposition is that it must be substantial, or at least that you must show that there is a safety, health, or welfare problem with the child's custody as it is currently? There has to be that showing of change, or otherwise we'd have custody hearings, custody motions filed in every case, just with no reason to deny them except to weigh the best interest of the child. Don't we add another requirement?
I would agree with this court. Okay. I would agree with your proposition that I believe that's the way the law should be.
Then if you agree with that, is there a difference then in the law between the required parameters for a change of custody vis-a-vis a change of visitation and companionship?
We would submit that since they are both promised on the same statute, 310904, that the same rules should apply as to awards of custody or allocation of parental rights and responsibilities and modification of visitation or companionship rights. Yes,
and my last question is, aren't those factual matters in every case? And is this really a certified question to us on a question of law, or is it more factual in nature?
Well, almost all questions before the court involve both factual determinations and legal determinations, but I believe that the decision of the Court of Appeals stating that modification of visitation rights is under 3109.051, when Jacobs versus Jacobs says that modification of visitation or companionship rights is to be determined under 3109.04, is clearly a question of law, and that the lower courts need to be instructed as to which is the appropriate statute that courts are to employ in making their determination of modification of visitation or companionship rights. If this court should rule that 3109051 is the appropriate statute, then we have one set of rules and regulations. If 3109, 3109.04 is the appropriate statute, then we have additional hurdles. And I would submit to this court that that is a question of law, and that Jacobs versus Jacobs ruled the appropriate statute for 3109.04, and that the lower court in this case ruled that the appropriate statute is 3109.051. And that is a question of law that this honorable court must instruct the lower court as to which is the correct statute. Now, ultimately, in the application, will there be factual determinations to be made by the trial court? Of course there will be, but the court needs to clarify which is the appropriate standard that lower court should use in the modification of visitation or companionship rights. I would state to this court that when we read 3109051B, which is the statute that the lower court promised its decision on, nowhere does it provide for modification or in cases involving an attempt to modify an existing order. And I would say to this court that when the legislature repealed 3109.05, it by implication repealed the existing cases that were decided under that statute. satisfied with judicial determination made under that statute.
Counsel, you want us to determine that a change of certificate is required?
In modification of companionship, yes, Your Honor.
Change in who?
Change in the circumstances of the child, a change in the circumstance of the residential parent, conceivably a change in circumstances of the moving party.
Where did that be in that? Well, when you looked at custody, I thought we had to come under the concrete time that the law was yet to show material change in circumstances on the part of the custodial.
Well, that law, I believe that the statute says that the change in circumstances has to relate to the custodial parent. I believe it may relate to the custodial parent, but the statute has never been confined to only that of the custodial parent. There have been many judicial determinations that parties cannot, by their own action, bring about, a moving party cannot, by their own action, bring about a change of circumstance, such as quit a job and then claim because I'm now unemployed. Your own voluntary act would never constitute a change of circumstances, but there may be factors affecting the child, the residential parent, the non-residential parent.
Would the change in job circumstances, hours, and duties, you're off of vacation, those kinds of things, would that be a change in circumstances?
Assuming it was involuntary, assuming that the parties did not do it on their own, then I would say, yes, Your Honor, that conceivably could be a change.
So if a party says, I'm going to change jobs.
That would be voluntary, Your Honor.
Yeah,
I would say that.
So then they could, and the job changes, their hours change, all those things, and that, under your scenario, would not be sufficient. You come to the court and say, I need a change in the visitation.
May I please the court? I think that the trier of fact would have to look at all of the surrounding circumstances. Did they get a promotion? Did this involve greater opportunity?
Is that a ridiculous rule that you're asking us to adopt? I mean, why should the...
I'm asking the court to adopt the statute, which I hardly feel is a ridiculous rule. I think that the General Assembly in adopting 310904 has certain desirabilities, that children not be ping pong balls, that the matters not be litigated, relitigated, and then re-relitigated, that the only way that the parties can come back to court is to show that there has been a change of circumstance and the request of modification is necessary to serve the best interest of the child. I think that the policy determinations made by the General Assembly are sound policy considerations, and that this court should give its constitutional deference to the legislative branch of government. I think
you want a hostage to which statute?
Once again, Your Honor, the 31904 or 31951 does not apply to modification proceedings. If the General Assembly wanted it to apply to modification proceedings, they would have put that in the appropriate statute.
Why is the visitation very explicit?
It applies to visitation in original determination. Nowhere in the statute does it apply to modification.
Is there anywhere in the statute where it says that visitation is being controlled by a different standard when I was attached to modification?
Well, Your Honor, once again, you're going to have to read the statute as part of materia with 310904A1A, which provides for continuous contact by the non-residential parent with the child. And what is this continuous contact of the non-residential parent? That's obviously visitation. Therefore, the General Assembly has made it clear that the appropriate statute is 310904, not 310951. If the General Assembly wanted to make 310904
modification, it would have solidified in this right.
Now, you practice a lot of domestic relations.
Yes, sir.
Your experience, there's a rash of people wanting to run in and modify visitation money custody.
Well, I laugh here at the same number of cases that we have Jacob versus Jacob, we have this case. It is a continuous problem. I mean, if you're saying to me either 200 cases a year or 2,000, I have no way of knowing that.
What is your practice? Is it generally people want to change custody and all that rather than visitation?
Well, I would say custody is more frequent than a request to modify visitation, but requests to modify visitation are not rare. It is not, when that happens, it's not, it doesn't make the headlines in the newspaper, it's not a red letter day. I thank the court.
Thank you, Kat.
Another way that the Jacobs case is the case that first said, well, Appleby is no longer the law.
That's
and that would be sort of.
However, if this court, that would require this court to adopt the torture statutory analysis that Jacobs requires. If you look at this, the first place to look at it, at least, as I understand the statutory analysis, we don't get to do a lot of it as domestic relations practitioners in Montgomery County. If you look at the statute itself, there certainly is nothing in 3109.051 that prohibits the determination of a custom visitation order without finding the change of circumstances. And Justice Pfeiffer is correct that the change of circumstance standard in custody cases has to do with the residential parent situation or the child situation. It doesn't speak at all to the non-residential parent situation, which is probably in a large majority of this case, including this one, or in part, this one, all this one did have to do with the child situation, growing to be an age, and the change in the mother's situation. But most cases don't deal with that. They deal with some change in the non-resident parent situation, which makes it more available, more opportunity to have time with the child, which I believe the legislature has made clear, both in 3109.04 and 3109.051, give the priority of the state to make sure that both parents have continuing and frequent contact with their children. That is a changing circumstance. That is a changing opportunity. It's changing for parents who are married and raising children. It's changing for parents who are divorced or who are never married and raising children. Their jobs change, their work hours change, they change careers. All those things happen. They happen frequently. And creating huge barriers, such as the Davis case was created, which makes turning litigation over a simple modification to the state into the type of battle and cost that a custody case requires, I believe is bad public policy and, more importantly, inconsistent with Appleby, which...
Well, I'm not sure I follow that. Why you think Jacobs is going to throw a wrench into the system if it would, I guess in theory, it, when one requires, as in custody, if one were to require the same standards for visitation, it just would lessen the filings, wouldn't it?
It would lessen filings, therefore, assuming most non-resident parents seek increases in visitation time for their children. And if judges do it as a result of changes in their situation, not necessarily the children or the mother, it would bar those people before that. I believe by incorporating 3109.04 into 3109.051, it's much simpler to simply look at the face of 3109.051, see that it says the court may make any judgment reasonable order, and apply the applicable stare decisis decision, which addressed a preceding statute of the statute on the same subject, which says that the court has broad discretion, and specifically broad discretion in a visitation case than in a custody case. And frankly, that's why Jacobs is the only court of appeal that has embraced this idea of downloading 3109.04 into 3109.051. I don't know of another statutory situation where a court has found that we need to take a standard from one statute and put it into another statute in order to create the appropriate tax. So transporting a test that doesn't belong in 3109.051. The length and difficulty of this case is another reason. My client filed this motion a year before he was able to act in the hearing. And Long County, certainly not as busy as many of the counties in the state. Two continuances were had for arguably appropriate reasons. Court case objections were filed to the magistrate's court. The hearing is held. It was over a year after the initial motion was filed before my client got released, creating another layer of proof, and complicating litigation by imposing the Jacobs standard here will only increase the length and difficulty of these cases. And the person that gets robbed is the person with a 4-year-old child. In this case, that's a fourth of their, or the time of their life, or a half of their life. There were only one of the original filed motion. Jacobs is virtually alone. Regarding stare decisis, the applicant case, if you read it in concert with 3109.051, does in fact seem completely relevant and completely on point, and is the decision of this court, and I believe ought to be continued. The custody standard was most recently clarified in Davis versus Plessinger. I think it was something less than substantial change in circumstances of the court's finding was, but the change in circumstances in the situation of the child. It seems to me that standard is inappropriate in the visitation situation.
Counselor, you touched on this in your brief. I'd like to hear your strongest argument as to 04. I think the problem we have is 05 refers to the granting of rights and it refers to visitation, not refer to modification. 04 refers to modification of parental rights. Why is not the modification of parental rights more specific in this instance, and why should we not apply 04? Because it does refer to specifically what happens with the test when the court is determining whether to modify the parental rights.
The legislature modified 3109.51 to deal with visitation issues and not custody issues. Not the plaintiff in this case, Ellie Reagan, was not asking for a change in custody. Was not asking for a change in allocation of parental rights. Simply that the existing visitation order issued originally under 3109.051 be modified. Now, just because the statute doesn't say the word this includes modification too, doesn't mean that the court may not make any just and reasonable order or decree. And that's where I understand the need to reach the 3109.04. The face of the statute in and of itself is sufficient statutory interpretation to allow simply say that's where the standard's from. It sets out that the broad discretion of the court regarding these things leaves the standard name only to that.
Well, would you agree that 051 is written in terms of the granting of rights versus modification of rights? Is there a difference?
No, Your Honor, with all due respect, I respectfully disagree with that premise. I believe 051 can easily be interpreted to deal with modification of
this. Well, if we didn't have 04, I would agree with you, but we have 04. The General Assembly, for some reason, wrote words that suggests that it was thinking about the modifying of rights that had already been granted by the trial court. Now the trial court has
application before to modify some of the rights that it has already granted.
So
we have 04.
I understand, and that's certainly the reason you would take this court in the matter, and certainly a reasonable way to approach it. The way I would approach it, Your Honor, is to take a look at 3104 to determine allocation of parental rights. Once parental rights are determined, then sort of C section B, which is 3109.051, so that the court's decision making in the second part goes to the visitation statute, and so a modification of a visitation order is a very different animal than a modification of, and both in statutory language as well as in reality, a very different animal than a modification of allocation of parental rights and responsibilities. So that once you're a holder of a visitation order in 3109.051, then the rules governing changing that order would also be governed by 3109.051. I can't think of any other situation where the legislature reaches into, or where the legislature tends to reach from one statute into another.
Well, they do it all the time. I mean, we have to read statutes and turn material all the time, don't we?
Well, because those are right.
They don't always put all the tests that we need to look at in one section of the code.
But correct, Your Honor, but certainly they would wrap standard, and if their intention was...
Well, it would have been nice if they'd done that here, but they didn't do that.
Right.
Unfortunately, the gap here.
Right.
You've got to fill the gap.
But clearly, the state of the law at the time the legislature enacted 3109.051 was broad discretion of judges in domestic and control standards in determining visitation orders. Children haven't changed. Parents haven't changed. The sound ruling in Appleby hasn't changed. And not in the statute that addresses one way or the other, the standard for making a determination of modification by omission through the Jacobs Court, and if you follow the Jacobs Court reasoning, you can argue that by omission it prohibits any modification, seeking modification of 3109.051. But I think the better answer is that it is a separate standalone statute that relates to that, and what we're seeking, what you're truly seeking, is a new order for this case at the time that you petition the court to modify the case. Maybe modification was the wrong word. Maybe I didn't capture my plea the right way. But,
well, it is a modification. I mean, I think you used the right word. I mean, if you have a visitation order and there's an application to change it somehow, I mean, I think we call that a modification probably, and that's a fair use of the word.
But in many ways, because with visitation, certainly under the Appleby standard, you start with a clean slate. What's going on with dad? What's going on with mom? What's going on with child? At the time that the order is put in place, what you're really asking for is a new set of rules regarding visitation. That's what you're asking for that are relevant to the particular time and place. This case is a perfect example. When we agreed to the initial custody order, mom was breastfeeding. It's represented, of course, that she was breastfeeding the child. Well, maybe it's possible to have extended visits to dad if mom were breastfeeding, which was something I certainly wanted to get into, and these people thought that the court didn't want to either. 8 months later, that was no longer the case. So it only made sense to seek a modification. A whole new set of facts. New visitation order.
What would you want to see go with
that the Appleby rule is stereotyped as it relates to the modification of visitation, and that it is still enforced by the court, and that the court has broad discretion in determining, in the only standard by which you measure a modification of visitation case or a new visitation case, depending on how you choose to attack it, is the best interest of the child as required by 3109.051. That's clearly what the legislature intended to say to 3109.051.
Is Jacobs in conflict with Appleby?
Jacobs claimed to overrule Appleby, which I found curious.
How can that happen?
Well, that just seems to be curious to me, Your Honor.
Appleby's a decision in 1986 of this court.
Correct.
And Jacobs is a Court of Appeals opinion.
With all due respect to the Court of Appeals judges, I don't know, but I've never appeared in front of them. I don't believe they use the word overturn.
But I know him. I know the judge. The point was that the Appleby case was based on the pre-enactment, the pre-amendment of statute.
Right.
So that's not overruling it, is it?
Your Honor, the situation of children and the goal of 3109.051 is to provide maximum visitation of children with no no difference than 3109.05.
Well, I know.
And so it seems to me that nothing other than some perhaps bad legislative drafting might have gotten in the way of what was effective and worthwhile standards that, in spite of Jacob, seven or eight other courts of appeals, including the Seventh District, which landed here, have decided that it does not make sense based on the rule. I mean, and it's raised that way in their reason. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Katz, you've used your time, so it may take 30 seconds.
May it please the court, I would just like to say a couple of things. Number one is the statutes are referenced. 3109.04a1 provides for the other rights and responsibilities for the care of the children, including the right of the parent who is not the residential parent to have continuing contact with the children. So 3109.04 does reference this. Regarding broad discretion, judges should have broad discretion but not unlimited discretion. We have to respect the constitutional delegation, our separation of powers. The legislature has the constitutional obligation to set forth rules that we must live by. And of course, we feel that.
Counsel, what is the change in circumstances
with respect to circumstances? There was no change in circumstances, Your Honor. In this case, the trial court found that there was no change in circumstances and that therefore the prior existing order could not be modified.
So, in order to put on a child is breastfeeding, and now the child is that is out 5 years old, 6 years old. That's not a change in circumstances.
I don't know, Your Honor. That's a determination that will have to be determined in the trial court. This motion, Your Honor, however, was filed 2 months, 6 days after the divorce judgment entry. So Attorney Dan's representation that this happened a substantial time later is that they're in it with the
well, maybe this is not a good case for that, but you could have a few months to do that, and of course, it's going to be a what can be considered. And so the child's changing age, tends to go into those kinds of things that are or are not changing.
Once again, Your Honor, I think that is a fact-specific question that is best left for the trier of fact. Is it conceivable that under certain circumstances that may constitute a change of circumstances? That's conceivable. Is it conceivable that in other circumstances it would not constitute a change of circumstances? That is likewise conceivable. But this court is not in a position to provide facts. The trial judge is in the best position to evaluate the credibility, the demeanor of the witnesses, and make a factual specific determination. I would simply like to state to the court that if we adopt the position advanced by the appellee that Appleby versus Appleby is still good law, then what was the function, what was the purpose of the Ohio legislature in 1990 and 1991 revising the statute? If we're going to state stare decisis without reference to the underlying statute, then the courts become a law unto themselves and are not accountable to the elected representative, the General Assembly of the State of Ohio.
You've used your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.